Hello, I'm Danny Aiken, president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We want to thank you for listening to this chapel message. Our mission at Southeastern is to seek to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. We hope that you enjoy this chapel message and that you will visit our website. It's www.sebts.edu. There you can learn more about our school and what the Lord is doing here. We hope you enjoy the message. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing here.
All right. Take your smartphones and your Kindles and your iPads. And if you don't have any of those, then just take your Bible and turn to John chapter 15. This is a very familiar passage. I don't know what's an unfamiliar passage in a seminary to preach from. I'm just flabbergasted to be here. Each time I come, I feel so humbled and so overwhelmed. And what on earth are you doing here? Because I know in this group there's some great theologians and scholars, and I'm just a preacher. But I am a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. And I prayed through this a good while. If I were sitting there and some older guy came and could speak into my life one thing, if there's just one message that I could get from the Lord that would carry me through, not just through seminary, but through my ministry, it would be what I'm going to share with you in these next few moments. John 15. I'm so blessed by this faculty. I have the guys that I serve with at Inglewood. Our staff is here, and I'm overwhelmed that they would. You know, when you hear something time after time again, and the same person, and for them to be here is a big deal. My nephew is here, that's a student here. So I want you to know, I don't take this lightly. I'm not just pulled something out of the drawer and said, well, of those Sundays, which ones would fit here? This is what I believe God would have us to know right now. John 15 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do not much. I'm sorry, that's not what it says. I don't even think the Living Bible says that. It says, for without me, you can do how much? You can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. That's really what we want to be. We want to be his disciples. We want to bring him glory. Here is the way that you bring glory to me. If the ultimate goal of man is to glorify God, then here's the way you do it. This is the essence of Christianity. The essence of the Christian life is not knowledge. As important as knowledge is, as essential as doctrine is, the essence of the Christian life is not doctrine. The essence of the Christian life is not activity. The essence of the Christian life is not service, as important as service and doctrine and knowledge and activity. In fact, you can have knowledge and activity and the correct doctrine and miss the very essence of the Christian life. The essence of the Christian life is Jesus Christ. That's it. It's not just serving Jesus or knowing about Jesus or having the correct doctrine about Jesus. It is a relationship. Hey, the essence of marriage is not knowledge about marriage. You can read all of these books about marriage. You can attend seminars about marriage. You can counsel other people in marriage. I know of people. I know of a counselor within 30 minutes drive of right here who counsels people for a living constantly, week after week, especially married couples, and he's in his third marriage. You can counsel people about the Christian life or about married life. Married life is not an institution about marriage. It's not instruction about marriage. Married life, the essence of it, is deeply in love with another woman or another man that you've committed your life to for the rest of your life. That's the essence. And the essence of the Christian life is loving Him with all my heart and soul and mind and spirit, and that intimate, close connection with Him. Abiding in Him. That's what Jesus is talking about. Let me tell you a story. Several years ago, in a Midwestern city, the Fruit Growers Association met for their annual meeting. The FGA meets once a year for a nationwide convocation of fruit growers from all different sizes of farms and vineyards from around the nation. They get together for a large conference, a convention. They want to hear the latest strategies and technologies and techniques in fruit growing and fruit picking. It's really a time when a lot of the old timers want to get together and get up with old friends. But they do have a large convention hall, and they have exhibits and displays set up about the latest equipment to pick fruit, the latest equipment to polish fruit, and how to market your fruit, how to keep your fruit and not bruise your fruit. They have breakout sessions for fruit growers. Of course, they have speakers throughout the convention. Several years ago, the speaker that brought the house down was a guy that talked about burnout among fruit pickers. Of course, the keynote speaker just happened to be the guy that the year before had picked more fruit than anybody in the nation. And so he challenged people, we got to pick more fruit. And everybody left that convention when it was over with a desire to pick more fruit than they did the year before. But the problem was, the next year when they met for their convention, people were on a downer. They were kind of disheartened because the news had come out. The fruit industry was declining. They had actually picked less fruit than the year before. And the attendance was dwindling and the enthusiasm was drying up. The next year was the same way. The fourth year that they got these statistics, they did what any FGA, Fruit Growing Association, would do. They got together a study committee. And their function was to find out why has the food industry gone down so much and we're picking less and less fruit each year. And after several months, they came to a conclusion and publicized it. They said the reason we're picking less fruit is because there's less fruit to pick. And their findings were that in all of these years, in recent years, we have put so much emphasis in our industry on the picking of fruit and the producing of fruit, the polishing of fruit, that we've stopped talking about bearing fruit. And if there's no fruit, then there's none to pick. Let me tell you, Jesus put emphasis on bearing fruit. He says in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit. The emphasis to Jesus was always on bearing fruit. If you want to be my disciple and bring glory to me and to the Father, here's how you do it. First and foremost is in bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. What you are is more important than what you do. Abiding is more important than activity. And if you don't catch yourself, I see us all the time. I sat where you sat in the last century. I know what it's like to be in seminary. I know what it's like to get so busy, especially in good things, right things, godly things, Christ-honoring things, we've got to pick the fruit. We've got to make sure the fruit is preserved. We've got to do everything we can to keep the fruit. And there's all of this fruit out there. But if we're not careful, we'll dry up on the vine ourselves. And so before we do anything like that, the number one priority in our life should be to abide in Christ. Because who I am is more important than what I do. How I spend time with Him is more important than how I serve Him. Abiding. Bearing fruit, Jesus said, is the essence of the Christian life. Are you bearing fruit? Here's my question this morning. Where's the fruit? Not the activity, not the knowledge. Hey, where's the fruit in your life? If bearing fruit is the key, let me give you just three principles about bearing fruit from this passage. I believe bearing fruit is proof of our union with Christ. It's the real proof of our union with Christ. Anybody can say, I'm united with Christ. I'm abiding in Christ. If you are abiding in Christ, there'll be fruit. Where's the fruit? Here in this very fruitful land. This land's known for its fruitfulness. Israel was. And in that land of Israel, his very first sermon, he talks about fruit. You remember how he ends that sermon in Matthew chapter 7? Jesus said, beware of false prophets, Matthew 7:14. For they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their words. It's not what he said. Man, they'll use the right words. They'll use the same terminology that the sheep do. So you'll not know them by their words, and you sure won't know them by their activity, because they go out early in the morning, and sometimes you'll see them riding their bicycles late in the evening. It's not their activity, and it's not their knowledge, and it's not their words. You will know them by their fruits. And then Jesus said, can a thorn bush bear figs? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, and a bad tree brings forth bad fruit. Therefore, a tree is known by its fruits. And he says in verse 16, by their fruits you will know them. If a tree is known by their fruits, then beloved, bearing fruit is the very proof of our union with Christ. He says in verse 1, I am the true vine. And that word true does not mean true as opposed to false. I am the true. The word true is the word for authentic. Because remember, he's talking to a Jewish congregation, and all through the Old Testament, the vine is symbolic of Israel. And these people think, if I'm connected to this nation, if I'm connected to this group, then I'm automatically a part of the vine. And he said, well, Israel is the vine, but I am the authentic vine. I am the one that supplies life to you. And listen, if you try to connect yourself to any other vine other than Jesus Christ, not only will it not supply life, it will sap you of your life. If you connect yourself to the vine of ministry, I'm going to get my life from ministry, serving others and serving the church and preaching and ministering and planting churches. If that's your vine, you'll dry up. You'll be a statistic in a few years. 2,500 of us in the ministry leave every month in America, in the world. 2,500, I didn't say a year, a month. And many of them sat in pews just like this, attended classes just like these. But they attached themselves to a vine that wasn't the authentic vine. If your vine that you're attached to is relationship, if it's any other relationship other than Jesus Christ, not only will it not supply you of life, I guarantee you it will drain you of life. I am the authentic vine, Jesus said. And my Father is the vine dresser. And then what he says in verse 2 has been taken out of context so often. You've heard it. Jesus said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He says in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. Of course, we've heard those who believe that this is teaching that a person can be saved, and if you're not really careful, if you're not producing fruit, you're going to be thrown out and going to hell. But that's not what he's saying at all. This is a proof here that bearing fruit is synonymous with abiding with Christ. And if a person is not abiding in Christ, they're not bearing fruit. They're not a part of Christ. In verse 2, if you'll notice carefully, he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. There's a difference between the branches that are pruned and the branches that are taken away. And you know what the difference is? The ones that are pruned have fruit. The ones that are taken away, they're not connected to the vine. Now, they may look like they are, but they're not really connected to the vine. Because the proof that you're really connected to the vine is that you're bearing fruit. I pastored in South Carolina, and our congregation was surrounded with peach trees. And there were peach farmers, growers in our congregation. And here's what they would do. During peach season, they would identify those branches that had no peaches on them. They had some leaves on them, and they had bark on them. They looked similar to the other branches, but they had no fruit. And they would mark those and then come back in December through February. They would cut all of those and throw them in the fire. Why? How did they know? The farmer explained it to me. He said, sometimes we'll take those branches and cut them, but when we begin to cut them, they don't have the sap in them that the others do, and sometimes they won't even have a core. They'll just be connected, he called it by the skin, but it's by the bark. They were connected by the bark only, and there was no inside to them. And I see that every week. I see that every week, that people use the terms and say the words and go through the activity, but there's absolutely no fruit at all in their life. Superficially, on the outside, there's a connection, but there's no connection to the life of Jesus Christ. Because if there is, the proof is that we'll be bearing fruit. We better stop here and identify what is fruit. Because the New Testament, especially the letters of Paul, he identifies several things as fruit. He refers to those people he's led to faith in Christ as fruit. The Bible talks about ministering to the believers as the fruit. The Bible speaks of fruits of righteousness. But here in the Gospels, when Jesus refers to fruit, I believe the definition of fruit is the outward manifestation of the inner nature. Fruit is the outward manifestation of the inner nature. If I see apples hanging on the tree, it's because the nature of that tree is an apple tree. If I see oranges hanging on a tree, it's because the nature of that tree is an orange. If I see aluminum foil hanging on a tree, well, there is no aluminum foil tree. Every tree bears according to what its nature is. The nature of a child of God is Jesus Christ. If He's inside of me, then the fruit of that, the outward manifestation of that, is unconditional love and exuberant joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and faith and meekness and self-control. That's an outward manifestation of the life of Jesus Christ in me. And if you can't see that, it's because I'm not connected to Him. I'm not really saved. I may say that I'm a believer, but I'm not really a believer if there's no fruit. Now listen, it may be shriveled up. It may be hard to see at times. I've noticed those trees. Sometimes if a tree, an apple tree especially, if it goes untended and uncultivated for any amount of time, instead of having all of these apples hanging on every branch, there may be just three or four on it. But there'll be three or four. They may be tasteless. But there's some fruit there. Have you ever noticed in some people's life, you have to really look hard sometimes to see if there's any fruit at all? But they may be there. It may be tasteless, but it'll be there. The proof of my union with Christ is that there's fruit in my life. Is there fruit in your life? Can the life of Jesus Christ be seen in you, through you? That's the only reason for my existence and your existence. The only reason for a branch to live, a branch only gives something for the vine to hang its fruit on. So if I'm not bearing fruit, I really have no reason for existing at all. If you'll notice in the Bible, a branch could not be used for anything else. A vine branch could not be used for furniture because it was too pithy. It couldn't be used for fire. And in fact, Leviticus says you couldn't even use the branch of a vine for sacrifice because it just burn up so much. Therefore, the only reason for my existence as a branch is for Him to hang the fruit on. If there's no fruit, I have no union with Christ. Bearing fruit is proof of our union with Christ. Number two, bearing fruit is produced by our union with Christ. I can't produce fruit. No branch can. He says in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit. He doesn't say produce fruit. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. A branch can try everything it can. A branch can say, I'm going to produce some fruit. And it'll never pop out. The only thing that a branch is responsible for, and boy, this brings great comfort to me. At the end of the day, with all the different requests that people can make of us, the only thing that matters is, did I make myself available to the vine? Did I get up and I was in such a hurry because my life's busy? That's what you're saying right now. You don't understand, my life's so busy. I've just got so many things. My life's so busy. And as busy as it is, it will never be this less busy in all your life. Remember the word that I speak unto you. It's busy now, but it'll never be any less busy than this. And if you get up and you're not vitally connected to Him, if you've got so much to do, and there's other things that you can do in substitute for that, you'll miss it. You'll miss it. In fact, just if you're taking notes, write down Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah 30:15. You remember the scripture that says, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength? God is talking to His people. And He says in Isaiah 30, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, who devise plans but not of my spirit, so they can add sin to sin. You're saying, help me, but you're not asking me. You're going to other sources but not for me. And His children were going down to Egypt. They were in desperate need, but rather than calling upon God, they were seeking help from the Egyptians and getting horses and chariots from the Egyptians. And so He says in Isaiah 30 verse 15, thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And then look how He ends this. But you would not. You would not. You'd say, well, Lord, you don't understand. I'm busy. And you'll never bear fruit. You'll never be able to bear fruit on your own. The only way that I can have the love and the peace and the long suffering, the only way that people can see Him through me is for me to be so vitally connected to me that bearing fruit is produced, not by me. Listen, if it's produced by you, you know what kind of a fruit man produces? It's called artificial fruit. If you have fruit for lunch, they say, well, I don't want fruit that's produced by God. I want fruit that man produces. Just get you a whole salad of artificial fruit. You'll starve to death. And it leaves you with a bad taste in your mouth. That's the kind of fruit that we produce. So how's it produced? By me resting in Him and relying on Him. And by the way, don't think of, this is not a picture of abide. Abide has nothing to do with passivity and folding my arms and saying, Lord, I'm just abiding in You. There's nobody in the Bible as busy as our Lord Jesus was. And His disciples were busy. But He began every day. He began every day. And He never had any sin to confess. But He began every day spending time alone with the Father. If He can abide with His Father as busy as He was, surely you and I can abide in Him as busy as we are. Bearing fruit is proof of our union with Christ. It's produced by our union with Christ. And one other thing, bearing fruit progresses by our union with Christ. It progresses. There is a progression in this matter of fruit bearing. He says in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Fruit, more fruit. And then look in verse 8. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Look at verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. There's fruit. And every child of God, I mean, the moment they're saved, will have fruit in his or her life. But He doesn't want us to stop there. Don't be content with that. He wants us to have more fruit. Say, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to see you more. I want more of your life to be evidenced in me. Fruit, more fruit. But then his desire is much fruit. I want fruit not just to be evidenced in your life. I want that fruit to boil over to other people's life and have an impact on other people. Much fruit. But that's not enough. I want that fruit to be reproducing. Not just for now. It's not just the multiplicity of fruit, but the legacy of fruit. That your fruit should remain. And that long after you're gone from this world, there's still other people who are bearing fruit because of the fruit that was evidenced in your life. The progression of bearing fruit is our union with Christ. So it all goes to that word, abide. That vital, continuing connection. And by the way, that's not just a temporary abiding or a momentary abiding. That's a continual abiding. At this point, I'd like to give you 8 steps on how to abide. Because that's what we're used to, but there is no 8 steps to abiding. All right, if you do these 3 things, the result of that will be you abiding. All right, here's what we do. And if you put all of these together, there's abiding. That's how our mind thinks. Do you know what it means to abide in Christ? It means to abide in Him. It means to be vitally connected with Him. It means on one hand, I'm focused on the Savior. He's my chief focus in life. It's not about me. It's about Him. When I wake up, it's not, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, but I've got to intentionally, deliberately place my focus on Him when I wake up. And then every moment of that day when I'm tempted to think about other things, about myself, I've got to intentionally bring my focus back on Him. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Verse 4, abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine. So to abide in Him means one thing, I've got to focus on the Savior and keep my focus on the Savior. I've got to have fellowship with the Savior. Let me say it that way. I've got to have that continual fellowship that when I wake up that morning, I don't have to introduce myself again to Him. I've got that fellowship with Him. It was interrupted. He was in my thoughts and in my prayers when I went to sleep. And when I woke up, He's there again and I'm fellowshipping with Him and I talk to Him. And then throughout that day, it's a constant fellowship with Him. And listen to me, dear brother and sister, that takes time. Whoever said real relationships are not built on the quantity of time, it's the quality of time. I'll show you somebody that's not in a lasting relationship. If I tell my wife, listen, honey, I don't have much time to give you today, but I'll tell you what I do give you, you'll be glad that I did. That's not going to mean anything to her. It takes time. We're a generation. You remind me of the cartoon I saw. The guy that ran, he was going down the interstate about 70 miles an hour and goes right by an exit and hollers out at a Texaco station, "Fill her up!" And we want to do that to God of a morning. We want to say, "Lord, fill it up, but quickly." Or, listen, I don't have time. I'm going to pray to you while I'm walking briskly to class or while I'm driving to the school. I'll tell my wife, I don't have time to be with you, but I'll tell you what, I'll call you when I'm on the... I'll call you. I'm traveling to Raleigh today, so I'll call you from the car. And you know what she'd say to me in love? Just forget it. Abiding in Him means fellowship with the Savior. Secondly, it means forsaking self. And here's the crux of it. In verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, not that you can do a little thing, or not that you can do some things, or that you can do some things but not that good. Without me, you can do zero, nothing. It means not only fellowship with the Savior, but it means forsaking myself. The greatest obstacle in my walk with Christ is not sin, and it's not Satan. It's self. It's coming to the place where I realize I can't do it of myself. As long as you have any inkling that you can do it by yourself, you're in a heap of trouble. My worst ministry in my life was immediately right after seminary, because right after seminary, I had all the answers. Now, the people where I went to minister to was upstate New York. They didn't have any of the right questions, but I did have all the right answers. And so I knew how to do it and what ought to be done, and I was so busy doing and doing and doing and spending less and less time on being and being and being that I came this close to quitting and giving up. I would have quit a long time ago had it not been for the truth of abiding in Christ. Because I'm made just exactly like you. The most important person in the world to me is me. I want to protect me and provide for me and pamper me and promote me. And then he comes along and says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. And then he says, without me, you can do nothing. Okay, Lord, there's a little bit of fruit in my life, but I want more fruit. Lord, I want more fruit. And anytime you and I desire that, I guarantee you, that's an invitation for the vine dresser. What? You what? Lord, I love you, but I want revival in my heart. I've got a Bible and 18 Bible books on my desk, and I'm drying up on the vine. God, I need revival in my life. I want more fruit in my life. I've been waiting on you to say that. And then the vine dresser walks right in to the vineyard. Right up to me. And he's got these huge shears. Really? He says, yes, really. Not that one. That's my favorite branch. It's gone. Well, Lord, that's the one I'm the most familiar with. It's gone. I've been fired. Yep, you won't need that one again. And he begins to say, here's what I've learned about pruning. Pruning is not punishment. It's painful. It's painful, and it sure is ugly. But it's not punishment. It's productive. I thought I needed that branch. And he says, no, that's just sapping you. But Lord, I've done this for years. Yep, you're not going to do it anymore. And he takes that away, and he takes that away, and he cuts that away. And then I see different people in different situations and different activities. And then I wonder what on earth's happening. It's the government, it's Obama, it's the church. And the vine dresser said, nope, it's me. Did you want more fruit? Yes, sir. Well, then you've got to get rid. There's a lot of leaves on you that's not worth anything. Just get rid of them. And what I'm doing, I'm getting rid of them for you. I'm pruning. Now, I don't have enough sense to prune myself, so he does it for us. What is abiding in him? It's fellowshipping with the Savior. It's forsaking myself. And then the culmination of that, it's focusing on the Scriptures. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. Did you notice where John 15 fits into all of this? He's walking to the cross. He's walking to Gethsemane. This is the last, I think it's called the last discourse. This is the last discourse that he has with these guys before his crucifixion. This amazes me. The last conversation that he has with these guys before he goes to the cross, he doesn't talk about strategy one bit. He doesn't talk about, all right, here's what's going to happen. And now after that, I want you to do this and I want you to go here. And he doesn't talk about any of that. He doesn't talk about the dynamic of their organization or what's going to happen. The most important thing on his heart is, here's what I want you to do. Abide in me. Before you do anything else, abide in me. And if you abide in me and I in you, if that relationship is tightly connected day after day, then all these other things will find their place because fruit will come out of your life. Let's just pray together right now. No one here but us and Him. And He knows what fruit is real. Maybe you need to say to Him today, Lord, I'm drying up. I'm drying up. I don't want to just dry up, Lord. I want You to prune me. I'm inviting You, vine dresser, to come into my life and to prune me and change me and take away anything about me that draws me away from You. Just take it away. And then I want to be so closely connected to You on a continuing basis that Your life is evident in me.
Thank you again for listening to this chapel message from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you are thinking about theological education on the undergraduate or graduate level, including doctoral studies, we hope that you consider us. If you also find these chapel messages encouraging and a blessing to your walk with Christ, we hope that you will consider financially supporting Southeastern. Our graduates are literally serving the kingdom across this globe, working to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Your gifts will help to train more, and they will serve as a worthwhile investment in God's kingdom. You can find more information about attending Southeastern or supporting us financially at www.sebts.edu. We covet your prayers and trust that God will bless every good work you do for His glory. Thank you for joining us in our chapel services.